Okay, welcome everybody to the Curious Circuit podcast. My name is Barbara Doyle Prestwich and we are on episode 2 today. And the title of today's episode is From Root to Branch, Rethinking Our Relationship with Trees. And today I'm delighted to be joined in studio by three of my colleagues in UCC. And I'm going to ask them each to introduce themselves and then we'll go on to talk about the various projects that we are involved in. So it's interesting to hear how you guys became involved in the work that you're doing. So over to Gabriella Chisholm first. Gabriella, tell us a little bit about your educational background.
Hi, so my name is Gabriella Chisholm and I'm an environmental scientist. I've always been fascinated by the natural world, and during my time in university I was involved in various societies and outreach activities. So I joined this project as I liked the combination between science and outreach activities.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah. And next I have Dr. Claire Nolan. Claire.
Hi, so I'm an archaeologist and I studied archaeology originally and then moved kind of sideways into psychotherapy and worked in mental health for a number of years. And part of my research for my psychotherapy master's was looking at ecotherapy and our relationship to landscape. And so then I took those interests and put them together in my PhD, which looked at the relationship between heritage and well-being. So that has kind of led me into working with the Irish Tree Explorers Network and looking at the cultural heritage of trees and why that's important for us.
Yeah, brilliant. And we'll come back to tease that out, Claire. And my third guest is Dr. Owen Lettice. Owen?
Yeah, I'm a lecturer in plant science in the School of Biological Earth and Environmental Sciences here in UCC, and I'm interested in all things to do with plants, but I suppose my PhD was on plant pathology and that area, so I'm interested in diseases and pests of plants, but also in more recent years interested in trees, because the UCC Arboretum is here and we're working with that now, and yeah, some of the projects I've been involved with have specifically focused on trees.
Yeah, brilliant. Thanks, Owen. And myself, my primary degree is actually genetics. My PhD is in plant genetics and I'm working and have done for years as a plant biotechnologist. I have a huge interest in innovative technologies in science, and I am particularly interested in medicines from plants, and which include trees, and we'll hear more about that as we go. Right, guys, let's get into kind of the meat of the subject, as it were. Owen, if I could come to you first to kind of set the scene for us. And I mean, I suppose this all started for us as a project within UCC and the Arboretum itself. So would you tell us a little bit about the Arboretum and its origins?
Yeah, I can indeed. So I'm in and around UCC for more years than I care to remember, but the tree collection has always been here, and actually in my time in UCC, rather underutilized as a teaching and a research and an outreach tool, I suppose. But the beginnings of the Arboretum, are linked to the foundation of the university back in 1845 and the opening of the university in 1849, when it was absolutely part of a university's kind of role to have not just a museum and a lecture theatres and so on, but also to have a botanical garden and a botanical collection. And that's what UCC started out doing. And so the trees that are on campus now are, shall we say, the remnants, or at least the surviving parts of the botanical collection. And when that collection was established first, it was really as a teaching, research and outreach tool. So the sort of work that we do in the UCC Arboretum Research Group, through the various projects that we'll get into today, that work is really a continuation of the work that was started back in the 1840s, because even from the very beginning, the collection was open to the public. That was a very important part of the ethos, I suppose, that the botanical collection be open to the public from the very beginning. So it is the longest running outreach project that the university has, I think.
Yeah, even though the words outreach project wasn't used going back, 200 years, but still that's exactly what the ethos at the time was, yeah. Did you say already how many trees we have on the campus?
I don't think so. We've got about 2,500 trees of about 130 30 different species, some of them very, very old indeed, you know, from the 1840s, 1850s onwards, and some of them, you know, brand new, planted in the last couple of years. So it's a living collection. Trees don't last forever, so it's really important that the collection here in UCC is maintained to the highest possible standards, and that's done really by our colleagues in Buildings and Estates, who play a vital role there. People may or may not know that the UCC Arboretum is accredited internationally by ARBNET, which is really important. So it is a collection of national and international importance. And I suppose what we try to do in the research group is to draw attention to the collection, utilise it in whatever way we can in our teaching, in our research and to our outreach activities, but also to make it an open space where people can engage with trees, you know, through cultural aspects, through art forms, just if people want to come in and walk around campus, that's absolutely a very common sight as well. So it's really a collection that belongs to Cork City and to Cork, not just UCC. And it forms a vital part of Cork's tree canopy as well.
Mm. Yeah, it certainly is a beautiful campus. And we hear our international visitors comment all the time. Just to say, I heard you say there that we use it as a teaching and research resource. And for myself, I'm currently involved in teaching pharmacy students, third year pharmacy students. And, you know, amongst the collection, we would have yew trees, for instance. And the yew, that it's called Taxus baccata, is the European yew. And of course, from Taxus, we get the anti-cancer drug paclitaxel, which is used to treat ovarian and breast cancer. From the willow, we have the precursor of aspirin. And of course, from one of our trees, the maidenhair, it's ginkgo biloba, we get compounds called ginkgolides, which are used to improve the, you know, the fluidity of the circulatory system. So all very interesting. I see on the leaflet in that we've provided kind of to members of the public, it's like a self-guided leaflet, isn't it, to take a tour of the trees. Do you want to tell me a little bit more about some of the trees, just even listing some of the trees on that tour, Owen, for instance?
I can indeed. So I suppose the UCC Arboretum project, if you like, started out with a small amount of seed funding from Green Campus here in UCC. And as part of that, we started putting together a tree tour that people should take. And of course, in the initial stages, we did that in person. I can still remember doing the first tree tour. It was described as the first tree tour in UCC in living memory. We couldn't remember, nobody could remember anybody ever doing it before. So we did that. Oh God, I don't know, was that 2019 or 2020? 2019, I suspect, late 2019.
Before COVID, anyway.
Absolutely. Yeah. And so we realised, look, we can't be there all the time to give tours of the collection. So we've done various things, from the website, which has information about the trees, but also a sort of a self-guided tour. So people may have seen our leaflet dotted around the place. You'll be able to pick up copies in the Glucksmann or in the UCC Visitor Centre as well.
Mm. I think it's online as well, Owen.
It's absolutely online on our website. So ucc.ie/en/arboretum. We'll get you to the UCC Arboretum pages. And what we've done really is picked out our 10 favourite trees of the 2,500 that are there. So, you know, things like the Willimi pine, which is one of the rarest trees in the world, of real international importance, to the strawberry tree, Arbutus, which people may have heard about, and you'll certainly have heard of Arbutus in place names and in other things as well, which is, well, is it a native tree? Is it not a native tree? That's a debate that's currently being had in the literature as well, but it's we've got a couple of examples there. If people know UCC, they'll know that the giant sequoias outside the library, Sequoia dendrogigantium, two of the, you know, that species is the largest trees, in the world. Our ones are a little bit smaller than the largest in the world. They're about 27 or 29 metres tall. Horse chestnuts, Lucum oaks, Monterey pines, willows, you name it, we have it. And the beauty of the collection is its diversity. Yeah. You know, it was not established to try to contain native species only. It's about you know, the weird and the wonderful, the exotic from all around the world. So we have trees from Asia, America, South America, you name it.
Fantastic collection. And you mentioned earlier the great work that buildings and estates do in maintaining that. And a big shout out to the head gardener, Jack Murphy, who we've, you know, we've worked alongside as well. Gabriella, could I come to you for a minute? Like the work we do as a group, we do a lot of outreach work and we put great emphasis on that. In terms of the audience, like, can you tell me about some of the work that you've been involved in, you know, in targeting different audiences? Owen mentioned the tours and, you know, what other kind of events or projects have we been involved in?
So ITEN has been involved in tree tours within UCC Arboretum, but the ITEN team also attends festivals and events across Ireland, including Bloom and the Carnival of Science, which was a big one in Cork last summer. And the audiences do vary. In Bloom, it was, I think, a bit more of an older crowd, and we would have got more detailed questions. Would have been a different level of interaction, whereas events like Carnival of Science, it was targeted at a younger audience, mainly primary school children. So we would have had a lot of people attending our stall, but perhaps not asking as many detailed questions, which is just good to observe.
And actually, Bloom, what are the figures for Bloom? Do we remember? Would you say 40,000? Is that a figure I remember?
Visitors? Yeah. You're talking about 100,000 over 3 or 4 days.
Yeah. Now, we can't claim to have met all 100,000, but certainly we were busy. There were 5 of us working there over what, 4 days, 5 days?
4 or 5 days, yeah.
And, so it's incredible the numbers coming up, isn't that right?
And the thing about those events is the fun. You know,
yeah, they were
really,
great fun.
Really
they
fun
were.
Events to attend and talk to people at.
And we did do surveys at both of these events. So for Bloom, we had, I think it was 365 votes cast, and a Carnival of Science over the 2 days.
What were they voting for, Gabriella?
So we did a vote on Ireland's favourite forest slash park. The winner was Donna Dia Park, I believe, Forest Park in County Kildare.
Oh yeah.
And for Cork Carnival of Science, we had a vote for Cork's favourite tree.
What's Cork's favourite tree, tell me?
Drum roll. It was the oak tree.
The oak tree, okay. And I think we did that competition in the Phoenix Park as well. So do Dubliners differ to the Corkonians then? What?
I think in Phoenix it was just the park and forest survey we did. So unfortunately not sure.
I think last year we did do Ireland's favourite tree at Phoenix Park as well. I think it probably was the same. I think it was oak.
It tends to be oak.
The oak is a popular one.
Cherry blossom tends to be a runner-up.
And actually, guys, I remember one of the or a few of the entries from small kids was their favourite tree was the Christmas tree, or there was a climbing tree was one of the entries as well, wasn't it? Yeah, yeah.
And you meet all sorts of these. So we had the Taoiseach, Micheál Martin, voting for his favourite tree, and we had Malcolm Noonan, the minister, voting for his favourite tree. So it's these events are really useful for bumping into people and engaging them on policy and on what we're doing.
No, it's incredible. And going back to Gabriella then for a second, so the audiences vary, don't they? Because we've encountered or we run kind of tours for very young primary school children. So any primary school teachers listening, we do those. We do, what else do we do?
So we've done tours for national or I guess like lifelong learning festival in which takes place in Cork. Every year, as well as for Cork City Council, we do a culture night tree tour as well. So that would naturally bring in different audiences, usually perhaps a bit older, with, I guess, different backgrounds and various knowledge of trees. But it's great. It's great doing it across all the age groups, even our secondary school, secondary schools, because, I mean, it's really interesting when you do the tours of primary school children. They're all smiles and they're all very enthusiastic. And I guess secondary school students tend to be a bit more reserved and a bit more quiet. But it's just as important to do it for them.
Yeah, we're getting great feedback though.
Yeah,
so again, for any teachers listening, it's something that we continue to do, isn't that right?
I think it's good to get them out of the classroom and get them outdoors and out of their routine. So, and I think they really enjoy it. We've gotten great feedback, as you said.
Yeah. And all of this thanks to our funders, Research Ireland, who have allowed us or, you know, given us the opportunity to take this and our project and our models have been copied by other institutions around the world. I know the University in Columbia have modelled their tour from the visitors that we had there, last year on, have taken the model of our self-guided tour to their campus as well. So it's all really very interesting. Claire, could I come to you for a moment? you have a PhD in archaeology, and you mentioned in your introduction your connection, you know, the trees and how that connects to your kind of area of study. Would you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, of course. I think we forget how embroiled or integrated within culture trees are. If we think about it, of course, they give us, you know, oxygen and all these fundamental things, but they've enabled us to build our houses and produce all sorts of different artifacts and things that we need on a day-to-day basis, but also stuff that's quite fundamental to our cultural identity as well. So if I take, for example, the willow tree, it was used for basketry, for wicker work in making wattle and daub houses, fencing, trackways to get across the bog or to access resources in the bog. But it was also used to make wooden objects. So one, for instance, is the medieval ceremonial drinking vessel called the Methyr, which is what the McCarthy Cup is styled upon.
That's interesting, isn't it?
It's not something we think about when we look at the McCarthy Cup. So and the same goes for harps. Willow was used quite often to make harps. And if you think about it, we wouldn't have music without wooden instruments. So these are really, really fundamental to who we are. And the other aspect of how part of culture they are is with the place names we have. Owen mentioned place names earlier. And 20% of the 60,000 townlands we have in Ireland are named after trees. Mm. So that's something to think about as well when we're driving through the landscape from A to B. So very much a part of who we are, and kind of, especially when you think about things like harps, they're very resonant symbols of Irish identity as well.
Just that little bit of for the harp there, Claire. Oh, that's amazing. Yeah, no, that's really interesting. And like, I suppose regular visitors to the UCC campus will be familiar with the collection of Owam stones on what's known as the Stone Corridor. I think we have the largest collection. Is that right? Claire, again, could I come back to you to tell me a little bit about the connection between the Owam stones, the alphabet, and trees?
Yes, of course. So the Owam alphabet, or the Owam writing, is the earliest form of writing that we're aware of in Ireland, and it was based upon an old form of Irish and the Irish language. The earliest examples of Owam we have date to between the 4th and the 9th century. Mostly we find them on stones, and a lot of these were found out in the landscape, and there are many still in the landscape, and the majority are across Kerry, Cork and Waterford, but you also get some over in Pembrokeshire as well. They were basically the way that the writing looks. It's hard to describe, but it's almost that it's been inspired by trees. It's sort of it kind of consists of a central stem that runs upwards, and then from that you have these little branches that form the letters that make up the alphabet. And within the original 20 letters that formed the alphabet, 6 of those were trees. So it seems that it was very much inspired by trees, and also it relates to the time period as well, because in the early medieval period, if you look at the Brehon Law texts, we can see that there were lists about the kind of different levels of the types of trees and how important they were, particularly economically, but on also different levels, like spiritual levels as well. And how, you know, you could be fined quite a heavy fine if you were to cut down somebody else's tree or damage it in any way. It's a bit of an eye-opener, I think. It's a kind of an approach and an appreciation of trees that maybe we don't have today, and we could probably learn a lot from that.
There's a lot in that, and a lot more to talk about there. And just before I go back to Owen, Claire, I'm just reminded there, when you talked about chopping down trees, you wrote a nice piece in the RT Brainstorm recently, didn't you? About that tree at Hadrian's Wall, was it?
That's right. Sycamore,
wasn't
right.
It?
Yeah. A sycamore gap.
Yeah,
which happened a few years, which was quite an atrocity, really.
Yeah.
And of course, that sycamore was famous worldwide because it had featured in Robin Hood Prince of Thieves, the film.
That's right.
And there was kind of uproar about it. But, you know, that led us to think about, well, how trees are quite political, really. And, yeah. you know, across time, there have been examples where, even in Ireland, where, you know, one tribe will cut down the special tree, the sacred tree of another tribe. And yeah. so it's not really a new thing. Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's it. Yeah. Thanks, Claire. That's brilliant. Owen, just kind of sticking with the theme of, you know, the trees and the importance of particular trees. You always tell a nice story when we go on our tours about something called the Lucum Oak. Tell us about the Lucum Oak. It's one of our trees, our top 10 trees that we've selected in UCC. Tell us a little story there that you often tell on our walk around the Arboretum.
Well, the Lucum Oak you'll find down in the lower grounds near the Glucksmann Gallery, if people know that part of UCC. And it's a funny oak tree because it is a hybrid. It's a hybrid between a Turkey oak and a Cork oak. It's a hybrid between a deciduous tree and a non-deciduous tree. An evergreen tree. So instead of losing all its leaves in the winter time, like most deciduous trees would, it loses some of them, but not all. So even if you were recording this in February, and if you go and have a look now, you'll see most deciduous trees have lost their leaves, but the Lucum Oak has retained its leaves. It was a hybrid produced by William Lucum back in 1762 in the UK. And Lucum so much enjoyed and loved this particular hybrid that he created that he wanted to be buried in a coffin made from Lucum Oak. So he had the first ever Lucum Oak chopped down, made into planks, put under the bed, to wait for the day that would arrive when it would be useful. Unfortunately or fortunately for William, he lived to be nearly 100 years old, so by the time they pulled the planks of wood out, it had all rotten and they had to chop down the second Lucum Oak. So we're very lucky to have a very, very good specimen, a healthy specimen, and an old specimen of Lucum Oak here on campus
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, interesting. Thanks for that story, Owen. Could I introduce a topic that we are all very familiar with, and actually we're in the process of writing a review article at the moment, aren't we, guys, and hope to get that out soon. But this phenomenon, some people might be familiar with this phenomenon of plant blindness. Who wants to say a little bit about that? Does anybody want to start off?
Yeah, so I can talk about it. Plant blindness is this idea that people walk by and live their lives completely, I guess, almost ignorantly to plants. They're just not as observant as opposed to other mammals or other...
They're not soft and furry and cute
yes,
like that. Is that
not,
right,
Gabrielle? They're not moving around as much, or perhaps they don't look like us or act like us. And it's a very interesting area, and there's a lot of research as to what directly causes this. There's no one cause. You know, there's a lot of cultural influence as people are spending more time on their phones and not being out in nature as much.
Mm-hmm.
There's,
and yet we know the value, don't we, from lots of research
exactly.
in this area of health and well-being is right.
Absolutely.
Yeah?
So, and I guess some plant processes aren't as perhaps fast as human processes, whether
yep.
that's growth or something,
yep.
which obviously plants growing, but because you can't see it growing in live action,
yep.
people kind of can walk blindly past.
Mm-hmm. But I think projects like the ones we've been engaged in go a long way towards raising awareness, and I think it's so important. And I suppose, Owen, Gabriella mentioned it earlier, we've been involved now working together for several years on projects like this, but I suppose our latest project is called I10. The acronym is I10, which is Irish Tree Explorers Network, and again Research Ireland funded. Would you tell us a little bit more about that project, because it's a national project, isn't it?
That's right. I suppose we were working away and doing some really good work here with the UCC collection, and we thought, well, how can we take this to a national level? We can't bring the UCC collection with us around the country, so we partnered with Quilta, with the Tree Council of Ireland, and with OPW, people like Margaret Gormley in the OPW and Pat Neville there in in Cuilta to use sites across the country, use Cuilta sites that people will be familiar with, forest parks and recreational parks, OPW sites, you know, some of real important historical
beautiful sites,
importance, which have tree collections. Yeah. And
I think, sorry to cut across you, on our original idea, wasn't it, that we said we wanted to be able to look at the map of Ireland and have a footprint in every county in Ireland. And I think we've achieved that, haven't we?
We have. So if you go to our website, tree-explorers.ie, you'll see that we have sites across the country. And I suppose I think we were inspired a little bit by the idea of the Wild Atlantic Way, that you might travel to different sites and you might be inspired to travel to the different sites. And all of that is funded by Research Ireland, we should reiterate, who've been very supportive.
And I want a big thank you to all the people that we met at all those sites. I mean, all the Cuilta staff, the...
Because they're the people doing the hard work on the ground. What we wanted to do is connect those sites together and provide resources that all of those different sites could use. Mm-hmm. That's what we wanted to do.
So if I wanted to know in my county, which places in my county were part of the Irish Tree Explorers Network, how do I find out?
Yeah, the best thing to do is to go to the website tree-explorers.ie, and there's a really useful map. Interactive map where you can click on the different sites. There are definitely sites that aren't in the network simply because it takes time and resources to get them on board, but there's one in every county, so go and seek it out.
And are we encouraging people to get in touch with us to include more? Is that still on the cards?
Absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you can always get in touch, and we'll keep it in the filing cabinet, let's say. We need more sites, and I think the beauty of this is building up the sites gradually over time to make sure that each one is meet certain standards.
Yeah.
We do like to make sure, and we visited, as part of the project, we visited every site.
Yeah.
We've talked to people on the ground, and it's about not us coming in and saying, all of a sudden, this is an I-10 site. It's about talking to people, wondering what they want, what they would like from I-10, and figuring out, you know, what are the benefits and what are the potential problems as well in a thing like that.
And one of the things I've discovered from, you know, going to those festivals, Gabriella, that you were talking about, Bloom and the Cork Festival and several others as well, is that when people are out walking, they really want to know what tree they're looking at. And not every tree is recognisable, right? So one of the things we embarked on was the signage project, isn't that right? So, and we've rolled out signs to lots of different sites, haven't we, Claire?
That's right, yeah, and they can correspond with the website where we have information on each individual tree. Not every tree in the world is in there, but some of the most common trees that are found in Ireland, both native and non-native.
Yeah.
So that when you look at the sign, you can photograph the QR code or just go to the website address, and then it'll lead you to the I-10 website where you can find out more information.
Yeah, yeah. And I have to say the website is looking good, guys. Yeah, and lots of resources there available. I come back to schools as well. We've beautiful posters, isn't that right?
And we are regularly updating the website, including our I-10 sites. So as we develop the map, we're constantly adding sites.
Yeah, so it's never too late. Is that right? Donna Rail, I think, is the most recent one. Is that right?
Yes, yeah, exactly.
Exactly, yeah, brilliant. We have another couple of minutes. Claire, I want to come back to you about something I remembered from one of the visits to one of those sites. And I think one of our sites is Cool Park. Is that right?
Yeah, so Cool Park is it's a tree collection, it's an old estate that's in Galway. It was the original, the home of Lady Gregory, who was one of the founding members of the Abbey Theatre and who has written extensively about Irish mythology and legends and was part of the Irish Revival in the 19th century, in the early 1900s. And so part of living at her estate was to have amazing fantastic visitors coming to stay with her, people like William Butler Yeats and other literary and political figures. And while they were there, they inscribed their names on this beautiful copper beech that is still there today. And you can go and see their autographs all over the tree. And it's a really important part of Irish history, not just literary history, but, you know, political history as well. So it's a really, it's quite an amazing thing to see, and it's well worth a visit.
Yeah, brilliant. So I suppose, Owen, I want to come back to you, if I could, I don't know if you want to say more about the I-10 project. I know we have a big event coming up that you want to talk about as well, but...
Just to mention the symposium that we have coming up on the 19th of March, and it's the same title as the title of the podcast episode.
So which remind
no
us.
No excuses for forgetting it. It's From Root to Branch, Rethinking Our Relationship with Trees. We'll have scientists, we'll have people talking about the cultural aspects of trees. It's a real diverse collection of people talking at that. It's a free symposium taking place down in the new building in Fota Wildlife Park.
Mm, beautiful setting. And absolutely. Actually, do you know, we released the tickets the other day. It's free, as Owen says. They sold out within a matter of, I think, an hour. But what's the good news, Owen?
The good news is we've released some more tickets. They're selling like hotcakes, but people should check out the website and check out the social media to see if the last few tickets are available.
Yeah, yeah. And we have our speakers are confirmed. And where can people find out about the speakers?
Check out our website. That'll bring you to an Eventbrite page, and we'll have information there on the speakers confirmed.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, we're nearly wrapping up, but I just reminded now to ask Owen about one more thing, if you don't mind. Back to you, Owen. There, one of the you've talked about the fabulous collection in the UCC Arboretum, but one of the trees I just want to spend just a little bit more time talking about is the ginkgo biloba. And I know I've mentioned already my own personal interest in, say, pharmaceutical compounds from trees. And I've mentioned the ginkgolides, and there's a factory out the road in Cork that actually specialise in extracting metabolites from the ginkgo leaves that are grown in different parts of the world. But we had a nice encounter. And I know, Owen, you developed this kind of side project. I think, is it called the Hiroshima
Project? Yeah, project? I suppose the... The beauty of the Arboretum project and the support of I-10 means that smaller kind of spoke projects are building up around that and creating a bit of momentum, including separately the tree root microbiome project. We're looking at the microorganisms surrounding the roots of trees, in particular the Monterey pine. But the Hiroshima project is around ginkgo, and as people will know, the Hiroshima was bombed at the end of the Second World War. One of the few things to survive were the ginkgo trees, and what we do is take seeds from what are called these survivor trees. We grow them in Cork, and we're planning to plant them out in the collection. So it's a nice historical link as well.
Yeah, brilliant. Okay, well, all that remains is for me to say thank you most sincerely to Owen, Claire and Gabriella. That's been delightful. Thank you for sharing your knowledge with us, and we'll say goodbye. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Barbara.
Thank you. Barbara.